What's up, y'all? It is the Bank Trapper here.
My name is Fatima the Banker.
And this is Married Life and Bank Trap. And so today's going to be a little bit of a shorter episode, but we just want to explain what it is to have your own cyber banking system. And so I'd like to start off with just understanding what it is to even be the bank as a concept, because of it's overly complicated. And so first, we're going to just talk about how all money is just energy. It's the evidence of energy transferred, meaning that when you go to work and you collect a paycheck, you put energy into that job and you received evidence of that energy through your paycheck. Even when you're doing sales and you receive a commission or sell a product, whatever it is, you received money, which is energy. And so now, understanding what savings really is, all savings is just an energy reserve. Mm-hmm. So if you're running a race, what do? You conserve your energy until the end when you got to explode. And so your savings allows you to capitalize and take advantage of opportunities when they come. Mm-hmm. And so what does a traditional bank do? A traditional bank is just a reserve of a whole lot of people's energy. And so they use your money and your energy to make more money. So now what we teach in this concept of becoming your own bank using the sovereign banking system is how to take control of your energy the correct way and create your own system where you reserve it. And so in a nutshell, all being bank is that you are putting your energy in a reserve for you to control it. You put your money in your own banking system using whole life insurance and using cryptocurrencies. Anything you want to add to that, Beth?
I just wanted to add, while you're using your money, you're storing your money and it's acting as your energy that you put out, or money, your return of energy that of something that you put into from something that you put your energy into. Well, when you put your money into your reserves, your saving reserves, whatever reserve it is, mm-hmm. that money can also act as leverage mm-hmm. for you to be able to put that money to work. So the money that you put in from your hard-earned work energy, you can use that to leverage for something that you may need. So, but that money.
What example would that be that you for trying to leverage?
So an example. So if you own your own business, if you have you're running your own business, and let's say you needed some office equipment, well, your money in that reserve, in your insurance reserve, would be able to act as leverage so that you can borrow against that and then go out and buy the office equipment that you need, which will in turn, that money that you leverage will still continue to grow. Whereas if you put it in the traditional bank, your energy is just sitting there vacant. The bank, of course, is using your money because of the fractional reserve system. So they're using your money to make more money, but you're not using your money to make more money and using that money in a proper way to leverage, which is why you don't really get a good return on your money, because you're not putting it to work.
And you're allowing the bank to be doing what you should be doing as somebody who's in control of their own economy and treating their life as a business, because banks don't keep their money in the bank. Mm-hmm. They have it tied up into other assets, because holding on to cash that hasn't been transformed into an asset is a liability. And so majority of their money that they keep is inside of a whole life insurance policy. And it's called BOLI, bank-owned life insurance. And so they teach the normal person that whole life insurance is death insurance. And so, you know, truth be told, insurance is the most misunderstood asset class there is. Mm-hmm. It says right there, life insurance, not death insurance. That means it's meant to benefit you while you're alive. And so I really want to talk about why we use whole life insurance, and we'll go into a little bit of the mechanics on how you need to make sure that you're with the right agent who's doing this for you, because there's a lot of, you know, wrong ways to set this up, and people think they're getting something that they're not.
And when you set up policies too, you don't set up a policy because it's what you want and it's what you need. You set up a bank based off of your current needs of your business, your life, with your children's lives,
your business, your business,
all of that. Because a lot of people they'll make decisions based off of feelings and emotion, when it's really, you know, you put yourself in a position, because then now you get this policy that doesn't need, like, it may be a good policy, but it doesn't serve all of the needs of what, you know, your current life is heading towards. Mm-hmm. So
kicking it off even more is, this isn't an end all be all. And none of these strategies that you learn from whoever you like to learn from, Ray Dalio, whatever it may be, there is no end all be all. It's another tool in your toolbox. And you have foundational tools, and then you have exotic tools that do different things. You know, some stuff is the war horse, some stuff is the workhorse, some stuff is your racehorse. Cashflow Ninja likes to talk about that a lot, and I really like that concept. And so looking at insurance reserves, this is something that you use for work and war. It's important. Mm-hmm. And right now we have crazy times going on right now. It hasn't stopped since the whole, you know, needle situation at the beginning of it, but now it's just intensifying in a different way. And so they always talk about how cash is trash, but it sounds really, really good for marketing. And we got to keep in mind, there's a lot of marketing. Everybody wants you to get you to buy something, which isn't wrong, because sales run the world. But sometimes they're not giving you the entire picture, or you're not hearing the entire thing. And so you really need to make sure that you have a large stockpile of cash as much as possible at all times to be able to act on certain situations and capitalize. And at the very least, you should have 6 months worth of living expenses. And majority of your savings should be in a whole life policy. Reason being is because it's the Captain Kirk of all asset classes. It can do a little bit of everything, and you get a guaranteed rate of return, as well as you can access this money tax-free. Gold, you can't access tax-free. Stocks, you can't access tax-free. Your 401k, you get taxed on. Mm-hmm. It's just tax deferred.
And tax deferred means that you don't have to pay the taxes now, but you have to pay the taxes later. Because a lot of people will think, oh, it's tax deferred. I don't have to pay taxes on it. Mm-hmm. You do have to pay taxes on it. It's just that you don't have to pay for it right now. Mm-hmm. And whenever it's time to come to pay taxes, a lot of people aren't able to pay those taxes. But because they think that when they take the money out of those plans, that it's their money and they can do what they want with it. When it's really like, no, it's not your money, because you chose to put this money into this business, into this asset. And now this business had put that money to work. Mm-hmm. And now you're borrowing their money, and you have to pay it back on top of paying taxes for accessing them, having to access that money.
Mm-hmm. Because they want you to keep it locked up. They want your money dead. Your money's meant to flow. It's meant to circulate. And so when you're using this, you have to make sure that you have a cash-heavy policy. It has to expressly be created for the purpose of having a large amount of cash value. And so with term, you can't do this, because one of the things about term is it ends. And term is meant for you to rent your wealth and as a hedge to protect yourself while you're involved in other activities. Mm-hmm. So whole life is what it sounds like, for your whole entire life. And it's really similar to a house. when you rent a house versus owning a house. And really, like, insurance, almost in every kind of way, is every comparison that you can think of with a house is what you can do when it comes to insurance reserves. It's going to appreciate over time. You have different ways you can cash flow this baby. Like, there's all kind of good shit you can do with it. And so you have to view this as renting versus owning as well.
And there's nothing wrong with it. There's really nothing wrong with having to rent your wealth when you first start off. That's where we had to start off.
Exactly.
Because whole life policies do cost more than term policy. And reason being is because the whole life policy lasts for your whole life. Unless you don't pay the premium, that policy will not cancel. Whereas a term policy, even if it's $1 million policy, it'll cancel after the max of 30 years. So you may be paying $15 a month or whatever it is for your term policy for $1 million, but you also have to plan for that policy canceling after that 30-year period. Once that policy cancels, well, then now your insurance, you will be more risky to insure after 30 years, so your premiums will be higher. So that same $1 million policy that you got when you were, 25 years old will not be $15 in the next 30 years. So was that 55? At 55 years old, I've seen people have to pay hundreds of dollars for a monthly term policy for $1 million. So it's better, however you see fit for your family and for yourself, I believe that everybody needs to have a whole life policy. Even after you start renting, you need a plan for a whole life policy, even if it is just for $100,000, even if you are paying for it monthly, even if you don't plan on utilizing the cash reserve function in the policy, you should still have a policy where you're guaranteed to have that policy where it's not, where you're guaranteed to not cancel anyway unless you don't pay the premiums.
And it'd be no different than if you keep leaving money in the bank. No matter what, if you look at the trend of it, money has gone down, especially since 1913, but really 1970, after we got completely taken off of the gold standard and became a part of this whole new fiat system. And so holding on to fiat at a bank doesn't make sense, because you're getting, 0.01, if you got a really good brokerage account or something like that, you might be getting like 1% cash back. But that's not keeping up with inflation, especially with inflation running hot right now, which is, at 7%. Whereas whole life policies are an inflation hedge. They benefit off of inflationary pressures, just like all other assets do. It's just that with this asset, again, you can access your cash that you've now turned from dead cash and debt notes into asset cash. And so you need to get with somebody. We set these policies up. You can set a consultation up with us. If you have questions as well, you can DM us, no problem. Inbox us on our website at sovereign-galaxy.com. But you need agents who actually use this thing too. We use it. We understand what it's like. And we understand the different intricacies about it. And we continue to learn and develop, because this concept is vast. Mm-hmm. And so, as well as, you need to make sure that you're using this with a mutual insurance company, not a stock insurance company. And the reason why that is because as a mutual company, when you have a policy with them, you are now a part owner of that company. And so that's the reason why you receive dividends. You get your guaranteed rate as well as you have access to dividends. Now, dividends are not guaranteed, but dividends are the icing on the cake when the company performs well. But you're gonna look for companies that have been performing well for 100 plus years, because this thing is older than the tax code itself. This isn't anything new. It's just something that is very well hidden and kept from the view. And I won't even say it's necessarily hidden. It's just not talked about on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want you to take on the riskier investments because you help add liquidity to their market. And what do? They take profit from you. And so this is also something that doesn't have any, I'm getting carried away though, but why not a stock company, right? Well, a stock company is there to benefit the holders. And so what do they have to do is they have to make sure that they're increasing profits at all times. And so who receives the dividends now? It's the people who hold the stocks of that company, as well as it's not private in the same sense as a mutual company, because now they have to show reports of different holdings and different things that they do. And so you have so many other regulatory bodies involved in this thing that it's just not the same, obviously, just for those few facts. And so you got a lot of people who are with these stock companies and be like, oh, you know, I understand, you know, as some people know it, the infinite banking system or infinite banking concept or the private banking concept or this and that. But if you really get to questioning them and asking them, okay, well, are you a stock company versus a mutual? And why is this important? Asking them, okay, so what kind of riders are you going to set up on here and make sure I have access to this, you know? Mm-hmm. And when do I receive my cash on cash? When do I start to cash flow, you know, because these policies do cash flow as well.
Because don't those types of policies, they still grow, but they also have a floor, they have a ceiling. And they're not guaranteed. They're not going to guarantee you a return on your money. And then as well as there is a difference. So an agent that primarily sells policies for a stock company, they're going to tell you, oh, your money does grow. It grows. Even for a mutual company, they'll say your money grows. But the policy has to be set up in a specific way to make sure that you are, one, have your guarantee, but two, you're able to put more money into that policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking more money into the policy where it's like you have your split of, you have access to maybe 50% of your money whenever you put that money into that policy. So half of it will go pay in the premium. The other half will go towards your cash reserve. You can adjust that. Your agent can adjust that for you based off of your situation, how, you know, your business needs, your family's needs, your children's needs, what, you know, your current needs. So don't allow for them, like, make sure you see everything. Make sure you see what growth they have. Make sure you see what exactly they're setting you up with. And then if you need to fact check, then, you know, don't be afraid to get second opinions from other agents, because you should also do your due diligence. And at the end of the day, it'd be your responsibility and on you if you set that policy up with little information and you trust that agent. And it's good to trust your agent. But sometimes people are just so quick, like, oh, this person is an agent, so I could just trust them right off the bat. No, you can't trust all agents, because a lot of agents, majority of agents, are only writing policies for commission.
And truth be told, they don't really want to put you in these kind of policies because they don't really get a good commission.
Mm-hmm. A policy that allows for you to put, let's give an example, $10,000. If you start a policy with $10,000 and only $5,000 of it is going towards your death benefit, and the other $5,000 is going to a reserve, agents don't get paid off of what's going to your cash reserve. We only get paid off of commission, what's going to paying towards death benefit. That's why you have a lot of agents that want to be really quick to just sell you term insurance, only term insurance, because we would get paid off of the death benefit, what you bought.
Which is what a term is, a death benefit.
That's all a term is death benefit. So the commission from that will be a $10,000. You'd start the policy off with $10,000 annually and it's a term policy. I'm getting paid based off of that $10,000 that you just paid to that policy. Whereas on the flip side with a whole life policy, I'd only get paid based off of $5,000. So over here, we're not money hungry. We want to make sure everybody is set up right. Set up right. Because people are taken advantage of too much and now people are afraid of even looking at a life insurance policy because they're like, well, this is death insurance only. I can't use it while I'm alive. So why am I paying for it? Well, for one, you know, life insurance, you pay for it so that if you do die, you still have, your family will still have something, but you want to be able to live. You want to be able to use your policy while you're alive. I know I do. And it's been nice being able to use our policy while we've been alive. So.
And so real quick before we get up out of here is talking about how do you use this with cryptocurrency. You can do these through centralized exchanges known as SEXs, or you can use them through decentralized exchanges known as DEXs. And these decentralized lending platforms offer different advantages. You have a lot less interference from single sources, as well as you have centralized authorities that you can do this through for either way, you know. But, you know, one of the disadvantages is they are not guaranteed, but it's still going to give you much higher rates of return and the ability to control your funds in a way that you don't at a bank. And so one of the centralized ones that you can use is BlockFi. BlockFi will allow you to use Bitcoin and put your Bitcoin up as collateral. You still get to participate in the appreciation. For people who don't know what appreciation is when your values go up in value. Your assets go up in value. They appreciate. You can borrow against these assets and then deploy that money on something else. And so you never actually have to sell your asset to be able to use your asset to receive the benefits of purchasing another asset. And so it's important to understand that there are different ways to do this. It's just that some will give you guaranteed and some don't. And so you also have to understand that you need to do your own due diligence and read, because these concepts with using cryptocurrency, with crypto being such a volatile asset, let's say you borrow when your asset's valued at $100,000 and it drops down to $50,000. Well, now you have to replace that collateral that was lost, because essentially you lost half the value of your asset, even though you didn't sell off any Bitcoin or anything from the movement, and you collateralized $100,000 worth of value. So these are also more concepts and things you can learn about how to do through us. It's a part of the work we do when it comes to becoming your own economy. Like I say, we use these things ourselves. Personally, I don't really use centralized exchange lending too much, just because I prefer having more ownership and participating in the DeFi space. But there isn't anything wrong with centralized for people that fits there personally. So, you know. On that, I really don't have too much else to say for now. Just wanted to help get a better clarification of what these concepts are. What about you, baby?
All I really want to say is just tune into us, y'all. I mean, really though, we're here to, you know, help guide everyone. I mean, we've used the systems ourselves, and now we're, teaching people how to do the same, especially as a family. It's hard to try to get your family to work together on, especially when it comes to finances, because we've all been traumatized, conditioned and traumatized to think that we can't work together as a team, when really it's like, you really can. It's just, it's going to take some sacrificing of bad habits, negative thinking, and just getting over whatever emotions you have towards whatever family member it is. I mean, of course, every situation is different, but we all have to realize that we're stronger together because we all have a common enemy, and that is not each other. That is the big people that are trying to push us out of the way and get rid of us, trying to kill us off and, you know, purposely hiding information, like having a reserve, a cash reserve through insurance. They don't, even though it's in our face, they don't teach us these things. And on purpose in school, they've been taking a lot of things out of the curriculum that would help, that will help our children become successful, of course, along with the things that we teach them as well. But we just need to really be focused on with the times that we're in now and with everything getting worse, what do we need to do as a family? And we do help, you know, with family businesses, small businesses that are trying to come up from the ground, at least trying to get their foundation started, and then, you know, moving up to the...
Which level?
Each level. So starting from the foundation, because the foundation is very important. It's very important, because if that foundation is not right, then everything will come down. Like, everything, it'll crash, literally. If y'all will support us by going to our website, the website is at the bottom of the screen, sovereign-galaxy.com, just to, you know, so show some support, as well as listen to us on Anchor. We have more episodes on there, Married Life and Bank Trapping. And also follow us on Instagram, sovereignempire.crypto. Thank y'all for tuning in today, and we will be back soon.
Deuces.
Bye.